This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman rabbal alameen. Insha'Allah, tonight we'll finish up and see the lessons from the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Actually, we've finished it. Just want to see some lessons from it. And then we'll move to the stories of two prophets, Hud and Salih alayhim as-salam. Now, some of the lessons from the story of Nuh, and I want you, inshallah, always to remember that whatever lessons we come up with, I am pretty sure that if you go back to the story and you reread it and then reread it, you'll always be able to come back with more and more lessons and benefits from it. They will never end. And even the lesson, subhanAllah, that you thought that you understood at one point, when you come and visit it later, a year, 5 years, 10 years later, you'll find that it will have a different impact. It'll mean something different, something deeper, depending on your life experience so far, what you're going through. So for instance, someone who reads the story of Nuh and how he loses his wife and his son, and he's not married and doesn't have children, it's not going to impact him the same way that if he goes later, 5, 10 years later, and he's married and he has children and he reads the story. The way that he is or she is going to relate to it will be different and deeper, right? And if, God forbid, they lose a son and they read the story of Nuh losing a son, it'll mean something different. So I'm saying these stories will never dry up. They will always keep giving you and giving you the more that you read, inshallah. So some of the benefits, by no means are they the entire benefit, but some of the benefits of the story is that one, that Allah Azza wa Jal rewarded Nuh for his extensive, dedicated, and long da'wah by making the progeny of all humanity to all come from him, alayhi salam. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ. It says, we have made his progeny, those who have survived. So the ulama have said that Nuh alayhi salam is the second Adam. Nuh is the second Adam. Meaning all of humanity come from who? Adam. And then after Nuh alayhi salam, all of humanity comes from Nuh alayhi salam. So you see how Allah Azza wa Jal has rewarded him. Yeah, he lost a son, and we'll see that inshallah among the benefits. Yes, he lost a son. Yes, he lost a lot of people that he knew around him. And only the believers survived on that ship, plus the animals, and only very few believers. So one of the things that Allah rewarded him with is that the rest of humanity were to come from Nuh alayhi salam. So here that's a benefit, that if Allah Azza wa Jal asks you for something and you deliver it and you do it the way that Allah wants you to, Allah rewards you in proportion to your ikhlas and your dedication and how much you have given. So think about it. He didn't lose. He gained so much alayhi salam. Now, another benefit, and that we've discussed later, but it's also important to emphasize it, is that the time that Nuh alayhi salam spent in da'wah was not a waste. Meaning, whoever have actually accepted Islam, that was the gain of the da'wah. And even if no one accepted Islam, after 950 years of da'wah, even if no one accepted Islam, still the mission of Nuh alayhi salam would have been considered a success. And why would it be considered a success? Because what is it that Allah Azza wa Jal asks from every conveyor of da'wah, from every messenger, and from every rasul and prophet? It's not the results. Huh? What is it? Delivering and conveying the message. At-tabligh. This is what is required. The results, as we said, the hearts are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. No human can control how and when you're going to accept the truth. You don't know. It's always in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, we can do something about it, but still with everything that we can do, you can be the most persuasive, most eloquent, most learned person, and yet that person or a person who's very close to you may never accept the truth. And somebody who's absent, who hears you once, who's not related to you, might accept the truth. You don't know. The hearts are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what is our mission? Is to give the proper da'wah. And someone asked me, okay, tell me, what does it mean to give the proper da'wah? Because that's the amana that Allah gives you. What is it? What does it mean to give you the proper da'wah? What it means is that the content of the da'wah and the delivery of the da'wah, both of them should be sound. The content of the da'wah means that you don't compromise it. You give what Allah Azza wa Jalla has said. You don't change it. You give what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. You don't change it. You deliver it pristine, clean, pure, as you have received it from the original sources, the book of Allah and the sunnah of his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think of yourself, subhanallah, as just a transmitter. Here you have the Quran and the sunnah and you want to transmit this to people. You don't want to pollute it in any way. So the content needs to be uncompromised and pure and clean. But there's also, it's not enough that happens. You need also the delivery. How are you going to deliver this? You have to deliver it in the best of ways. Kindest, gentlest, and also wisest of ways. Uncompromising, but also gentle. So how do you do this? This is how you would go back to Nuh alayhi salam, and Hud, and Salih, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and those who are in between, and see how did they talk to their people? How did they use different da'wah methods? How were they wise about presentation, gradual at times? How at times they would entice people to come to the truth, but at other times they would threaten them. At other times they would be friendly and kind, and other times they would be stern and hard. You would see how they would vary methods of da'wah, how gradual played a factor in it. What did they start with? And how much they emphasized the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. How did they bring on the proofs and present these proofs to their people? Proofs about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. Proofs that He's the only one that needs to be worshipped. Proofs that they are messengers and prophets. So when you study that, you will have a complete and a proper understanding of what da'wah is. So da'wah is two things. Da'wah is the content. You need to learn what the content is. And then how do you deliver this content? So this is what the stories of the prophets also teach us, especially in details when you go through it and when you read it in the Quran and you see that Allah Azza wa Jal tells you this is what how they spoke to them. This is the reply that they received. And by the way, the reply that the messengers of Allah receive is common. We'll see examples of is common. If you hear something that was said to Nuh, it was said to Hud and Salih and Musa and Muhammad alayhim as-salatu was-salam. It was said to all of them. So humans repeat themselves and they have a typical common reply to the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. Oh, you're crazy. You're bewitched. Somebody, you know, made magic. Oh, you're a magician. You only want power. Right? Bring us a sign. And when they bring them the sign, what happens? Do they believe? No. So it's common. It's common themes that Allah Azza wa Jal presents in the Quran. Why does He present these common themes in the Quran? Because if you go on and you become a da'iyah, you call people to the truth, or you simply observe it, you'll notice these patterns repeating over and over and over. Because humans are humans. And the third lesson, inshallah, is that we said that Nuh alayhi salam lost his son and lost his wife. So you could do, as we said before, you could do everything in your power to fix and guide, and yet you may fail. And that means that you don't trust what? Don't trust your own ability. It's not you. Well, I'm going to give them da'wah and I'm a great da'iyah and I will guide them. Or if I study and if I do this, if I do that, definitely people will be guided. No. As Allah Azza wa Jal told His Prophet, and we said this last time, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ. You're not going to guide those that you love. Or everybody that you love. You're not going to be able to guide them. So this all goes back to Allah Azza wa Jal. So without tawakkul on Allah, you'll not be able to give proper da'wah. Because you're not the one who's guiding people. Even the way that you talk to them, that is all in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I want us to see, subhanAllah, how Nuh submitted to Allah. Because what did Nuh ask? Inna ibni min ahli. He says, Ya Allah, my son is from my family. Meaning that, Ya Allah, you promised. Take You can put yourself on the ship and take your family. Now, my son has died. And it's a tragic scene. You know, if you remember it in the Quran, it says when he asks him, come on board the ship, come on the ship with us. He says, no, I'm going to climb on a mountain to protect me from the waves, from the water. And Nuh alayhi salam says, لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله. Nothing will protect today from Allah's decree. That in itself is a lesson. When Allah decrees something, there's nothing that you can do to stop it. No physical means, no protection. If it is death that Allah has decreed, you can hide inside a mountain and death will catch you. If something else that Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed, don't think that you can do anything to protect yourself from it. So again, it is tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jalla. Don't think that it is you, but it is Allah. Yes, you take the means, you consider them. You do what Allah has commanded you. You protect yourself, but that's not the thing that is going to protect you. So he dies. Now, Nuh alayhi salam asks Allah Azza wa Jalla, save him. And what does Allah say? What does Allah say to Nuh? No. No. He tells him no. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ He says, he is unrighteous. And I advise you not to be among the ignorant. This is not something that you can ask me. So Nuh alayhi salam submits to Allah Azza wa Jal directly when he says, asks Allah for forgiveness, and that he does not want to ask Allah anything that he's not entitled to ask him. So I want you to see how much they submitted to Allah Azza wa Jal, because for a lot of us, that would be tough. Huh? You lose a son, you lose a child, okay, I lost them. Even that loss in itself, a lot of us, cannot handle it. We cannot take it. But then to be told that he's not righteous, and what does it mean that he's not righteous? Where is he going? Hellfire. And how can you be patient with this? And how can you, as a father, process all that? So subhanAllah, this tells you that they were slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not slaves of their desires, not slaves of anything else around them. And then once Allah, and a person can not become reach the level of prophets and messengers, but a person can reach a level where he can actually submit to Allah Azza wa Jal immediately when he knows that this is what Allah loves. This is what Allah loves, then it's better than what I love. Allah does not want this for me, then this is best. And they can leave what they love for what Allah loves. That's what distinguished the prophets of Allah and the messengers, that they could leave what Allah loves for leave what they love for what Allah Azza wa Jal loved. And that becomes the thing that they love, and they will forget about it. Huh? So it does not mean that it does not hurt. Huh? He's still a father. It does not mean that it does not hurt. But once he knows from Allah Azza wa Jal that the story is over and it's settled and nothing else can be done about it, and that Allah does not love him, it is done for him. He moves on and he focuses on what Allah Azza wa Jal wants him to focus on. Now we move, inshallah, to the story of Hud and Salih alayhim as-salam. Now we said that between Nuh and Ibrahim are how many generations? 10 generations. We don't know how long that was, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says 10 generations. I don't know how many thousands of years these were. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, when he talks in the Quran about Nuh, and then follows up and talks about the next prophet, he mentions Hud. And then after Hud, he talks about Salih. So we understand that between Nuh and Ibrahim, alayhim as-salam, we have both Hud and Salih. We may have other prophets, but we don't know who they are. But at least we know that there is Hud and Salih. What is unique about those two prophets is that they were Arab prophets. Hud and Salih are Arab prophets. They're not from Banu Israel. So most of the prophets that we'll be talking about, they come from Banu Israel, but these are Arab prophets, Hud and Salih. So we'll talk first about Hud alayhi salam. Now, Hud, and actually Salih also as well, they belong to tribes, Ad and Thamud, that are called the extinct Arabs. So they divide the Arabs into this type of Arabs, those types of Arabs, and there's Al-Arab al-Ba'ida, the Arabs that gone extinct. There are a couple of other tribes that have gone extinct. Some, which the Arabs knew very well that they gone extinct, are Ad and Thamud. So Hud was sent to Ad. And Ad is called in the Quran Iram. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَاد إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. So it's called Ad Iram. And Iram is either the grandfather of Ad, or the name of the tribe, or the name of the city. But they are known as Ad Iram. إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. I'll explain what ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ means. But Ad Iram. They're also called in the Quran Ad Al-Ula, the first Ad. وَأَنَّهُ أَهْلَكَ عَادًا الْأُولَى. And Allah destroyed the first Ad. Which some of the scholars have said, and there's a hadith to support that, there is a second Ad. And we'll tell you about it, inshallah, at the end. So there's a first Ad that the Quran talks about, and there's a second Ad that inshallah mentions. They also were destroyed. So they lived, Ad, they lived in a place called Al-Ahqaf. There's a surah in the Quran that is called Al-Ahqaf. وَذْكُرْ أَخَا عَادٍ إِذْ أَنذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ. So he gave warning to his people in Al-Ahqaf. What is Al-Ahqaf? Al-Ahqaf are mountains of sand. Mountains of sand. Where is that? That is generally in Arabia. More specifically in southern Arabia. That area from Yemen to Oman. That's the area. Where exactly that is? Allahu A'lam. We do not know. There are speculations. It's there, it's there, but it's not exact. So we don't know where they were, but roughly, that is the general area where they lived. And Allah Azza wa Jalla in this ayah that he talked about, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Don't you see or didn't you hear about how Allah dealt with Ad, Iram, the Ad of Iram, that Al-Imad. What does that mean? That Al-Imad is they've excelled in construction and in building. They're very powerful. That al-imad, that's what it means. Some said, you know, it's the pole of the tent. But it actually means more than that. It's strength, that they were very strong. Strong physically, but strong materially as well. And Allah says, أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. The like of which was not created in the land. And this could be in reference to either themselves, that Allah did not create anything like them, at least at that time, or that the places that they were living in, nothing else was like them or close to them in the entire land. Yet that they have reached levels of strength, material well-being. Again, they were rich, but not also only rich, also very powerful and very skilled. And they were able to build cities and construct things that were grand, that nothing else was like them in the land. So either they themselves, and they physically were superior, we'll see inshallah, they're physically superior, but also materially, power-wise, they were also very superior. And Allah Azza wa Jal documents this, and His Prophet alayhi salam, Hud, documents this. So let's see some ayat. Allah Azza wa Jal says, in the Quran, أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَنْ جَاءَكُمْ ذِكْرٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْكُمْ لِيُنذِرَكُمْ. And then here's that part that I wanted. وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطَةً. Remember that He had made you successors after the people of Nuh. So after they come immediately after the people of Nuh. Right? What does it mean that they are successors? Who inherited power after Nuh? They. It's not the same location. But it's as if the mantle, as if, you know, the flame of power went from someone to someone else. Who inherited that? Ad. So, وَزَادَكُمْ فِي الْخَلْقِ بَسْطًا. And He added you and gave you strength in body, you know, and height. So, basta, He extended you. You were extended in body, meaning that you are tall and big and strong. So physically, they were very strong. So that's why he says, فَذْكُرُوا عَلَىٰ اللَّهِ. Remember Allah's ni'mah upon you so that you'd be successful. Remember all of these ni'mahs. First of all, a prophet is coming to you. Is that a ni'mah or not? That is a ni'mah. The second of all, right? Allah had made you successors after Nuh. That is another ni'mah. And then He also had given you strength. That's triple ni'mah. Allah Azza wa Jalla also says, وَاتَّقُوا الَّذِي أَمَدَّكُمْ بِمَا تَعْلَمُونَ أَمَدَّكُمْ بِأَنْعَامٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla, who had given you what you know He had given you. What has He given you? He given you cattle and animals and children, وَجَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ, gardens and rivers. So had given you water and gardens, meaning that they're blessed. They were not in need, they were blessed. And He also said what? And this is another method of da'wah, enticing people, targhib. وَيَقُومِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهَا. He says, my people, ask Allah for forgiveness and repent unto Him. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ وَلَا تَتَوَلَّوْا مُجْرِمِينَ. He says, if you do this, if you ask Allah for forgiveness and you repent, what will Allah give you? And He's talking about the dunya. Because some of us, if you only talk about the akhirah, we're not that interested. But if you tell us that you're going to get something in the dunya, okay. So we want that. Oh, it means I'm going to become richer, I'm going to become stronger, I'm going to become healthier. So when you see these immediate benefits, and we are, humans have been created impatient. If you tell us everything is in the hereafter, when is this going to happen? When will I see this? But if you take, there is a hereafter and there is dunya as well, then that satisfies some of our needs. So what does He say? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send, the rain upon you frequently. So He will bless you with water, with rain frequently. وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّةٍ. And He will give you strength upon the strength that you were given. So it will make you even stronger. Does this apply till today? As a promise? Yeah. Yes, it does. So this is a promise from Allah. Though he's addressing them, it applies till today. That Allah will bless you. Bless you with rain. Bless you with strength. Bless you with ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal. If you obey Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, it can go up and down sometimes. And you could be tested. But in general, especially a society or a community that obeys Allah Azza wa Jal, they be tested. But once they are tested and they survive that test and they actually succeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless them. And there is an ayah also that tells you about their strength. But what is amazing about this ayah, and I want you to listen to it carefully, is that it actually tells you how a lot of humans, the powerful today, especially powerful countries, what they're doing and why they're doing it. Because Aad is like us today. Like if you think of the superpowers and what they do, you'll see that Aad is exactly the same. And we are exactly like them in how we behave. So here, their prophet is talking to them. He says, أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ. He says, do you build on top of every mountain and hill a grand structure for play? وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ. And you build reservoirs or like factories. So it's either reservoirs or factories. So that you will live forever or in hope of you living forever. وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ. And when you punish, when you use your power, you're ruthless. You use it without mercy. Okay, let me go and explain and show you the similarities. So he says, do you build on top of every mountain and hill, like every elevation, a grand structure for play? Ta'bathun, no good reason behind building it, but for showing off, for demonstration, for pride. What does this remind you of? Not so specific. Right. Building these very, very high structures without any need, just for show off. We have the tallest, we have the biggest. It's not that we ran out of space and we need to stack people on top of each other, or that property or land is expensive, but that we want to build a grand structure as a sign. This is who we are. And we have the biggest thing and the most expensive that. So he says, you're building it just for showing off, just to prove yourselves, and there is no good reason behind it. By the way, this is something condemned in the Quran. Allah hates. Allah hates. So it's a demonstration of power and prestige and wealth. That's haram. So he's telling them, condemning them, أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ. Wasting all of this money, all of this effort just for playing. وتتخذون مصانع لعلكم تخلدون. And you are building. And here مصانع could mean either reservoirs of water, big reservoirs of water, where they would keep water in it. Or مصانع, you know. It could also mean, in a way, thing to manufacture with. So if you think of their civilization, for them to build such grand and big structures and to be so advanced and so skilled, they will need tools, they will need to be building and keep supplying and replenishing. So you are building all of these things. But why are you building them? Because you either believe you're going to be living forever, you hope you're going to be living forever, or you act as if you're living forever. So whatever you are doing, in fact, it's not tempered, it's not moderated by humility. It's not tempered by the fact that, well, we're not going to live to see all of this. So let's save for our children something for our children. Let's save the environment around us. Let's be humble before Allah Azza wa Jalla. No, we're going to be living forever. So we act, we live, we produce, we buy, we sell, we build as if we are living forever. So that eternity on earth is an obsession. And then he says, وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ. When you fight people, when you use your power, how do you use it? جَبَّارِينَ. You are ruthless without mercy. You use it to the extreme. What does that remind you of? When people start bombing. Huh? I'm sorry? Huh? Yeah, I mean, I'm right. Yeah, and when you use your power, it doesn't mean that if you have power, you're ruthless about it. Where's your mercy? Where is your rahmah? Because whatever you are producing, sooner or later can be turned against you. And where is Allah Azza wa Jalla? You know, after all of this, where is Allah? Where is the fear of Allah? So he says, it doesn't mean that you have power, you use it however way you want. So you see how they are? And they are exactly like a lot of, subhanAllah, people are today. As I'm telling you, people just repeat the same mistakes. So, and of course, in addition to all of this, you know, subhanAllah, so they have strength. They have so much strength, that they actually felt that they were invincible. قَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةِ. They said, who is stronger than us? In the Quran. They were boasting about it. Who is stronger? Again, remind you? Who is stronger? We're number one. Remember? That's what humans are. We're number one. We're the strongest country. We're the strongest army. We're number one. وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةِ. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَوْلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةِ. Don't they know, they don't recognize that Allah who created them is stronger than they are. So where is your tawadu', you know, no matter what Allah Azza wa Jal gives you. So when you read the story of Ad, you're not really reading a story of people, oh wow, thousands of years ago, how relevant is this? You're reading about today. You understand how it is? It's like you're reading the news, subhanAllah. It's as if you open the Quran and you read it, but you just need to understand it and really, you know, understand it in detail. It's as if, and then go and read the newspaper or go online and say what people are saying. It's as if you, in the Quran, you were reading the news. Whatever they are saying there, you can come back and find it in the Quran. But more profound there. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you principles that are true all the time. They never change. They're never confused. They're always true. Now, and of course, you know, in addition to all of this, they worshipped idols. So it is said that they were the first, Allahu A'lam, to worship idols after Nuh. Alayhi salam. After the destruction of the people of Nuh, they were the first to worship idols. And they said, قَالُوا يَهُودُ مَا جِئْتَنَا بِبَيِّنَةٍ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَارِكِي آلِهَتِنَا عَنْ قَوْلِكَ وَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They said, Hud, he didn't bring us any proof. And we're not going to leave our idols just because you say so, and we're not going to believe in you. So they worshipped idols. And in addition, of course, to all of this, they hastened, they asked for the punishment of Allah. You know, after, and the people do that. Maybe feeling too confident or ridiculing their prophet, whatever it is. قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا لِنَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهِ. You say, you're coming to us, and they're asking us to do what? To worship Allah alone? As if that is ridiculous. As if that is, you know, unimaginable. You want us just to worship one alone? نَجِئْتَنَا لِنَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهِ. وَنَذَرَ مَا كَانَ يَعْبُدُ أَبَاؤُنَا. And we leave what our parents used to worship. So one of the lessons here is that being attached to custom, to tradition, is very dangerous if it goes against what Allah Azza wa Jal wants. They say, my culture is, who cares? about your culture. My parents, my forefathers, they used to do it this way. Who cares about the way that they used to do it if this is not what Allah loves? So this is exactly, there's that great human attachment. Our parents used to worship these. You want us to leave them? No, we're not going to leave them. And this is subhanAllah, when a person cancels their mind and decides to blindly follow someone else. You know, subhanAllah, how smart. You know, a couple of sahaba, Khalid ibn al-Walid and Amr ibn al-As. Brilliant. Yani Amr ibn al-As, he was called Dahiyatul Arab. Incredibly, incredibly brilliant. A mastermind. And Khalid ibn al-Walid, in tactics and war, very known. They asked him, he said, what delayed your Islam? And you're as intelligent and smart as you are. What delayed your Islam? Because he accepted Islam late. He said, because among us, there were elders who were very smart, and we thought they knew what's right and what's wrong. So we just followed them. But when they died, and we thought for ourselves, we found what the truth was. So what is this that delayed his Islam? He had Abu Jahl, he had Abu Lahab, he had Abu Sufyan before Abu Sufyan accepted Islam. So he thought these were the elders and they were smart. And they, in reality, they were smart, but not smart enough to accept Islam, but smart enough. So he said they submitted to them. So he was just going to follow what they say because they must know better. And if a person does that, they can end up in hellfire because they decided not to think for themselves. So you have to find what Allah says and follow it, not what tradition, culture, or my parents have said. With all respect to your parents, when your parents say something right, you have to follow it, and always you have to be respectful. But I'm talking here about something that is opposite to what Allah Azza wa Jal loves. So he says, we're not going to leave it just because you say so, and these are what parents have worshipped, and we're going to continue to worship him. And they also disbelieved in the Day of Judgment. They also disbelieve. أَيَعِدُكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِتْتُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَنَّكُمْ مُخْرَجُونَ. He says he's promising you that when you die, perish, you become dust, become nothing. Yeah, you become dust and bone. That you're going to come back. هَيْهَاتَ هَيْهَاتَ لِمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. This is far, far-fetched that anything like that is going to happen. إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ. This is only our worldly life. We live, we die, we're not going to be resurrected. That's it. And you find people today saying the same thing, isn't it? Absolutely. Again, you're not reading about something from the past. You're reading the present, and you're reading the future. Oh, no, no, no. After you perish, you think that there's an afterlife. This is so ridiculous. This is so childish. This is so backward. They will give you this thing until you think, it is childish. It is backward. It is, if you decide to believe what they say about it. But if you go back to the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you say, oh, there were people before who said exactly the same thing. What happened to them? Allah destroyed them. Allah destroyed them and took them away. So there is really no argument, actually no proof that you say, oh, they cannot, it's impossible. That after you perish, after you actually die and you become sand, that it's impossible for you to come back. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهَيَا رَمِيمٌ. He says, who is going to bring bones back to life after they have become dust? قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. He says, the one who will bring it back is the one who created it the first time. Is returning it more difficult than the initial creation? So if the initial creation is possible, and it's possible because you're right here, it's possible. You weren't anything and then you are something. Then can Allah Azza wa Jal return you into something after you had become sand? SubhanAllah. Now, like Nuh alayhi salam and like other prophets, one of the ayahs that the prophet gives is that they challenge their people, right? They challenge these people. And there's this challenge. They said to him, there's something wrong with you. إِنَّ قُولُوا إِلَّا اَعْتَرَاكَ بَعْضُ آلِهَتِنَا بِسُوءٍ. Some of our idols must have touched you with some harm. That's why you're delusional. Something is wrong with your mind. You're saying these things. You got harmed by some of our idols. What does he say to them? قَالَ إِنْ يُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ وَاشْهَدُ أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. He says, I make Allah a witness, and you become witnesses. I'm innocent and free of those that you associate with Allah Azza wa Jal. مِنْ دُونِهِ فَكِدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنظِرُونَ. Instead of Allah, without Allah Azza wa Jal, with you, مِنْ دُونِهِ فَكِدُونِي. All of you plot against me وَلَا ثُمَّ لَا تُنظِرُونَ And do not delay me in your plot. إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ I have tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal, my Rabb and your Rabb. مَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ There is no living being except that Allah has control over it. أَخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا So what does he tell them and what do they say? He say, our idols harmed you. They say, okay. Your idols, okay. I'm innocent of anything that you associate with Allah Azza wa Jal, but you think your idols harmed me? You and your idols and everybody else that you want to, you know, get with you, kiduni jami'a, plot against me and plan to kill me, all of you. And don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. Maybe I'll run away. Maybe in a week I'll run away. I'll try to protect myself. Do it now. As soon as you finish your plot, do it immediately. Here, I'm here. You know where I live. Right? Do they do anything? No. Next day, the next day, the next day, nothing happens. They say this is evidence that he is a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because what is the easiest thing? If he is such an annoying figure, what is the easiest thing? Shoot him. They don't have guns now. Okay, but you know, kill him. Just kill him. Done. The story is over. They still do that today, right? You don't like somebody, you just take him out. Done. That story is over. Why you keep suffering? And every time he's coming and telling you and threatening you with adabullah, Allah's punishment, and you have to... Why are you doing all of this? Just take him out. And they can't do this. Either they cannot agree or the plots fail. Anyway, the fact that he's a single person, one person sitting among him, and all of them cannot do anything to stop him, they say that is evidence that he is supported by Allah Azza wa Jal. Otherwise, he will not be able. He will not be able to survive. He will not be able to continue. They said to him, قَالُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا أَوَعَظْتَ أَمْ لَمْ تَكُنْ مِنَ الْوَاعِظِينَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا خُلُقُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ They say, Hud, whether you talk to us or not, admonish us or not, remind us or not, we're not going to believe in you. This, whatever is happening, in هذا إلا خلق الأولين. In another قراءة, in هذا إلا خلق الأولين. What does that mean? It means two things, or more than that. It means that these things that are happening to us, you know, we are sick, rich, poor, healthy, rich, poor, whatever it is, in هذا إلا خلق الأولين. This is a pattern on humanity. This is nothing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Pattern. People get sick, people get healthy. People get rich, people get poor. People, you know, go through hard times and they go through ease. This is nothing related to how righteous or unrighteous we are and not related to a creator. And that again, you hear that today, the same thing. This is just life. This is not life, not divine intervention. This is life. An earthquake is an earthquake. A tsunami is a tsunami. Nothing divine behind it. Sickness is sickness. Health is health. Wealth is wealth. Nothing divine. There's no design. There's no plan. They're saying the same thing. Or in هذا إلا خلق الأولين, they're telling him you're fabricating these things and these fabrications, you inherited that from early on, very early sources, and you're reproducing this for us. This is what it is. This is not from Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay. Now, they asked for Allah's punishment. They asked for Allah's punishment. And Allah sent them a punishment. So what does Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran? قَالَ فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا بَلْ هُوَ مَا اسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ When they saw clouds coming, and it is said that they experienced some drought. There's no rain. They were waiting for rain, waiting for rain, waiting for rain. It's not coming. I don't know. We don't know how long that lasted. But then when they saw rain or they saw clouds coming from far, they were happy. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا Clouds coming, مُسْتَقْبِلَ It's coming to their valley, to their towns. قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ These are clouds that will bring us rain. Allah says, no. بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ This is what you've been asking for. مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ You were rushing, asking for Allah's punishment. Hey, it's come to you. رِيحٌ There it's a wind, فيها عذاب that's carrying with it severe punishment, destroying everything بأمر ربها. Destroying everything by the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. فأصبحوا, he says, فأصبحوا in the morning, you could only see their dwellings, their houses. All of them were destroyed. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْقَوْمَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. In another ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. As for Ad, they were destroyed with the wind. He described it as being صَرْصَر and عَاتِيَة. عَاتِيَة is mighty. So عَاتِيَة is mighty wind. صَرْصَر is thunderous. It's so strong that it's like thunder. It is so strong that it is like thunder. This is sarsar. So it's strong and thunderous. سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حُسُومًا. Allah Azza wa Jal sent it upon them for 7 nights and 8 days. حُسُومًا, to finish him off, or one after the other. So either to finish him off or one after the other. فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. You will see people dead as if they are hollow tree trunks. So you know the tree, especially palm trees, and they have heads. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, when you see them, it's as if they are tree trunks without heads. All scattered. أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. And Allah describes it, وَفِي عَادٍ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّيحَ الْعَقِيمِ. We sent on them a rih, the wind that is aqim, barren, meaning brings no good. Barren wind, meaning brings no good. Anything that it comes upon, it makes it like ash. جَعَلَتْهُ كَرَّمِينَ. And then also Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَقُلْ أَنذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً مِثْلَ صَاعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ. He says, if you turn away, I'm warning you a thunder or a lightning like the lightning of Ad and Thamud. So it's a thunderous wind, and maybe also with it there is lightning that come with it that had destroyed all of them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that wind. He said, Nusirtu bis saba wa uhlikat adu bid dabur. He says, I was given victory with a saba, and that is eastern wind. Allah supported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with eastern wind. Ad, they were destroyed with ad dabur, and that is western wind. So western wind that came from the west, eastern wind that gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam victory. Right? So they perished, they died, and then Hud alayhi salam with the believers, they left. We don't know what happened afterwards. The story ends right there in the Quran. Nothing in the Sunnah tells us much about what happened to Hud afterwards. There is a grave attributed to Hud alayhi salam that in a couple of places. There's a place in Yemen, and they say there's Qabr Hud there, and people go and visit it. Another place maybe in Iraq, and people maybe go and visit it. But none of that is actually authentic. The only one that we are certain of, the only prophet that we know where he was buried is who? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For sure that we know that he's there. Others say maybe Ibrahim alayhi salam in Al-Khalil, in Philistine. So there's a known grave, and you know, they say maybe Ibrahim alayhi salam, but again, we don't have direct evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah that tells us that Ibrahim was buried there. We don't. It's just people say that. But for all the other prophets of Allah, we have no evidence to tell us that they were buried here or buried there. So the one grave attributed to Hud alayhi salam in Yemen is not real. Is not real. We do not know anything about it. No. So this is the story of Hud. Now I want to move, inshallah, to the story of Salih alayhi salam. And Salih alayhi salam was sent to Thamud. And Thamud, as a tribe, they were living, and again, it's an Arab tribe, and he's an Arab prophet. And they were living in Western Arabia, the Western Arabian Peninsula. And in fact, unlike Ad, their place is known. Their place today is known. It's called Al-Hijr or Madainu Salih. Al-Hijr or Madainu Salih. On the way to from Hijaz to Tabuk, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed through it. And we'll tell you, inshallah, what happened then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed through it. Inshallah, if we have time for it, or we'll do that bi-idhnillah next week. So they, like Ad, they were blessed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Again, they were given strength, they were given ni'mah, and Salih alayhi salam reminds him of all of that. He says, وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَادٍ. He says, remember that he had made you successors after Ad. So here again, the strength, the might, the skill transfers to Thamud. Now you have power on this earth. وَبَوَّأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and given you power on this earth. تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْ سُهُولِهَا قُصُورًا وَتَنْحِتُونَ الْجِبَالَ بُيُوتًا. He says, you take from the valleys or the plain fields, you build palaces on them. And from the mountains, you carve homes out of them. You can see, if you go online, right? You can see some of it is still today. That they carve, you go into the mountain and you make subhanAllah dwellings or palaces from that mountain. That is strength, that is skill. And you remember, this is thousands and thousands of years ago. So they were very skilled and very powerful people. So he says, فَذْكُرُوا أَلَىٰ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. So he says, remember Allah's ni'mah upon you. And that is subhanAllah. Always remember, the more that Allah gives you, the more that you should do what? Thank. Allah wants more thanking from you, the more that He gives you. So if you look at yourself and you say, I'm healthy, I'm educated, I have security, I'm wealthy, then that means that there needs to be shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal for all of this. So He is telling them, see what Allah has given you. And the more that Allah gives you, the more that you need to thank Him. And the more that you thank Him, what happens? The more that Allah gives you. And if you don't thank Him, it goes away. It goes away. Whatever it is, ilm, you mean knowledge, what you know, what you have memorized, what you're trying to know and memorize, or wealth, money, or health, or security, all of that, because they had all of it and they lost all of it. They had security, they had money, they had wealth, they had skill, they had children. You can name it, and they lost it all because they did not thank Allah Azza wa Jal. And the first way that you thank Allah is by doing what He wants. And the most important thing is that you worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So then he, in another ayah, he says, أَتُتْرَكُونَ فِي مَا هَاهُنَا آمِنِينَ. He says, you're living here in your areas, in your cities, secure. You're not afraid. فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ وَزُرُوعٍ وَنَخْلٍ طَلْعُهَا هَضِيمٍ. He says, you're living, and Allah had blessed you with abundant water. That's ni'mah, abundant water. You know, and then also plants and animals and and fruits, delicious, easy to eat fruits. وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا فَارِهِينَ. And you're carving out of mountains with a lot of skill, homes and palaces. See what Allah has taught you. What do they say to him? Of course, in addition that they're worshipping other than Allah Azza wa Jal. What do they say to him? قَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. He says, Salih, we thought, you know, we had high hopes for you before all of this. Because before, yeah, they noticed he was smart and he was wise and he was intelligent and he was, all the good qualities are in him. So when you look at someone like this, what do you expect? He's like, maybe he will be our leader or among our leaders. Huh? So he's one of our special ones. Huh? So but when he started to tell them about Allah Azza wa Jal, they dismissed all of it. And they say, Salih, you used to be someone before this. We used to think that something was going to come out of you before this. What has happened to you? You know, what has happened to you? You've become an outcast, Salih. You can join the elites. You can join, you know, the ranks of the powerful. You can be among the rulers. You can say whatever you want and do whatever you want. Now, you're among the poor. You're among the weak. Huh? What are you saying? What are you doing? Where are you going with all of this? And subhanAllah, you know, if you are a person with da'wah and you hear these things, it may affect you. What am I doing? You say to yourself, why? This is too hard. This is too hard. People are attacking me and this. I want to be comfortable. أَتَنْهَانَ أَن نَعْبُدَ مَا يَعْبُدُ أَبَاؤُنَا. He says, do you want us to stop worshipping what our parents are worshipping? And we have severe doubt about these things that you're asking us to do. And they address, now the non-believers, they are talking to the believers. قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا. Those of his people who are proud, arrogant, and they disbelieved, are talking to those who are weak, but they are believers. They say, do you know that Salih had been sent by his Lord, by his Rabb. He said, we believe in what he was sent with. They said, قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا But those who are arrogant were saying, إِنَّ بِالَّذِي أَمَنْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ We disbelieve in the thing that you believe in. And you can see here the tension. Remember we said who were the followers of the prophets of Allah and who were the enemies of the prophets of Allah in general? Where is this tension coming from? The elite have everything to lose. The powerful, the rich have everything to lose. And plus, for instance, you know, one of the things that they don't want to lose is power. I don't want to listen to somebody else to tell me what to do. I'm telling people what to do. I don't want to be told what to do. The weak, on the other hand, they don't have that arrogance in them. Huh? They don't have it. So when they hear the truth, and they know that that situation, the place that they're living in is not right. So when they hear the truth, they find the truth in it, and a way for change, so they embrace it. Now in the elite, the powerful, they look at the weak and they say, those believed in it, how could we? That's not for us. So they say, you believed in it, we disbelieve in it because you believed in it. As they told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was sitting with Ammar and Khabbab and the likes, they say, if you want us to sit with you, remove him. If you want us to sit with you and talk to you, remove him. And Allah Azza wa Jal forbade him to do that. And you cannot do this. Right? Now, also, they said, now we go to the sign, inshallah. They were given a sign. About Hud, Allah Azza wa Jal does not tell us what sign they were given. But with Salih, he tells us that they were given a sign. They asked for a sign, and Allah Azza wa Jal gave them a sign. And he said, and he tells in this ayah, يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ Worship Allah alone, you have no ilah except Him. A sign has come to you from your Rabb. هَذِهِ نَاقَةُ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ آيَةٌ This is God's camel, Allah's camel, a sign for you. So let it eat, you know, let it graze. Don't harm it, don't interrupt it. From in the land of Allah Azza wa Jal, and don't harm it with any type of harm, because you'll be punished if that happens. And in another ayah, Allah says, قَالَ هَذِهِ نَاقَةٌ لَهَا شِرْبُ وَلَكُمْ شِرْبُ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ This is a camel. It will drink on a specific time, and you will drink on another time. So what is this camel? What is the miracle? A background story. It's not in the Quran. It's not in the Sunnah. But a background story. It says that they asked for a sign. So Salih said, if I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that from that mountain, a camel would come out. Just come out from that mountain. Will you believe? They said, yes. So he prayed to Allah Azza wa Jal and a camel came out directly from that mountain. Where their eyes, they could see it coming out from that mountain. And then he said what? He said, دَرُوهَ تَأْكُلُ Let it eat. Let it eat. And it's called Naqatullah, God's camel. Why? Because it's a special camel. Wasn't born. It's not divine. Nothing divine except Allah Azza wa Jal. But as we say, this is house of Allah Azza wa Jal to honor it. When we say Naqatullah, what do we mean? Special camel. Let it eat, don't touch it, don't harm it. And on one day, that camel will drink. You are not allowed to drink, right, from the well. Only that camel is allowed to drink. If you want to drink, drink from its milk. You can milk it and drink from its milk. But you not drink any water at that day. The next day, it's not going to drink water. You will be able to drink. So you'll alternate. Huh? You will alternate. So you have to respect that, he's saying. Now, what happens, subhanAllah, and this is, you know, how wicked they were. They couldn't leave it alone. They couldn't leave, just it's a camel, just leave it alone. They couldn't even leave that alone. فَنَادَوْ صَاحِبَهُمْ فَتَعَاطَ فَعَقَرْ So again, the strong, the elite came together and they said, we need to kill it. So which one of you is going to do this? So one volunteered, I'm going to do this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, he said, the most miserable people, ashqa an-nas, the one who went to kill the camel from among Thamud, and the one who is going to go, and he's speaking to Ali ibn Abi Talib, he's going to go, O Ali, and strike you here until this becomes wet. He's speaking to Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, the two miserable people, the one who killed the camel, and Thamud, and the one who's going to come and kill you. So Ali ibn Abi Talib knew that he was going to be killed. The one who's going to kill you, strike you here, and is going to make your beard wet, drenched with blood. Right? And Allah says, إِذِن بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا The worst person among them went, and he killed that camel. So what does Allah Azza wa Jal says? فَعَقَرُوا النَّاقَةَ وَعَتَوْا عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ اُتِنَا بِمَا تَعِيدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ So they killed the camel and they rebelled against Allah Azza wa Jal and they say, Salih, fine, bring us whatever you're promising us if you're truly a prophet. Look at the challenge. What is left? What is left? After all of these warnings, after all of these reminders and that rebellion. And in addition to all of this, they wanted to kill him too. And after killing the camel, Allah Azza wa Jal documents this in the Quran. وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُصْلِحُونَ And in that city, there were 9 people who were corruptors on the face of this land. They were not reformers in any way, meaning they were the worst, right? The worst. قَالُوا تَقَاسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ They said, we will swear by Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the plot. لَنُبَيِّتَنَّهُ وَأَهْلَهُ We'll attack him at night and his family and finish him off. We'll kill them all. Then we will say to his tribe, whoever is going to come and demand, you know, why did you kill him from his family? مَا شَهِدْنَا مَهْلِكَ أَهْلِهِ We did not witness that death of your family. And we are indeed truthful. I don't know how they say this. We're indeed truthful when we say that we did not witness it. Okay, although they're the ones who killed it. But we did not witness it. And we are indeed truthful. And Allah says, subhanAllah, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ This is wonderful. It said they plotted, and we also plotted, while they do not know. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ مَكْرِهِمْ So look at the outcome of their plot. أَنَّ دَمَّرْنَاهُمْ وَقَوْمَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ That we destroyed them and all of their people. He says, okay, they plot. And when you plot sometimes, especially, you know, and you think that you're really smart, really conniving, and you're able to do whatever you want, and Allah is looking at you. Allah is looking at you and He's telling you, you're plotting, but I'm plotting at the same time that you're plotting. And you're going to see the outcome of your plot. The outcome of their plot was that what you have done destroyed you. It did not destroy Saleh. Destroyed you. Turns against you. So this is aqibatul makr, aqibatul dhulm. The consequence of injustice always. Don't look at what is happening today and think, subhanAllah, and when is it going to happen? It will happen. It wasn't overnight with Saleh and Hud. It wasn't overnight. It took time. But it will happen. Huh? It will happen. So the consequence of that is that Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them. What is their punishment? فَعَقَرُوهَا They killed the camel and they tried to kill him. فَعَقَرُوهَا فَقَالَ تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ ذَلِكَ وَعْدٌ غَيْرُ مَكْذُوبٍ He says, Saleh tells them, enjoy for 3 days. Because after the third comes the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a promise that you're going to meet. It's not a lie. So Allah Azza wa Jal says here three things. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ الرَّجْفَ, an earthquake overtook them and it killed them. So this is what he described first as an earthquake. In another ayah he says, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُصْبِحِينَ The cry, a cry is a loud sound, a great loud thunderous sound. Overtook them in the morning and it destroyed them. Allah says in another ayah, Inna arsalna alayhim sayhata wahida fakanu kahashim al muhtadir. He says, We've sent upon them a single cry and they became like, you know, like when you have a barn, and you have, what do you call, what's the, this escapes me in the barn, not the sheep, but what they graze on? Huh? Hay. Exactly. Hay that they step on, huh? That's what it is. That's Hashim al-Muhtadir. It's like hay that had been crushed. So one cry, and they became like crushed hay. So, and then Allah Azza wa Jal says, also in another ayah, وَأَمَّا ثَمُودْ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ As for Thamud, we guided them. We gave them guidance. فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى But they preferred blindness over sight, over being able to see. Over knowing what the truth is, فَأَخَذَتْهُمْ صَاعِقَةُ الْعَذَابِ الْهُونَ The punishment of thunder. The punishment of thunder overtook them, subhanAllah. So, بِمَكَانُ because of what they used to earn. So, in all of it, Allah Azza wa Jalla describes it as an earthquake, describes it as a cry, and describes it as a thunder. And it could be a collection of all of it. A great cry that overtook them, that was also so great, that was thunderous, and it caused the earth to shake underneath them. And it destroyed all of them. And then he turned away from them And he told them, Thamud, as also Hud said to his people, also Salih to his people, I've given you advice, I've given you reminders. وَلَكِ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ You do not like those who give advice, who remind you of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so he left them with the believers. And with the believers, they survived. And again, after that story, we do not know what happened to them, where is Salih buried, etc., etc. We don't know about any of these things. Now, I said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed through that area. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed through it, he found that there were people ahead of him, some Muslims, right, who were ahead of him. And he had told them what? He said, do not draw any water out of that well of Thamud. Do not drink from their water. They said, O Prophet of Allah, but we took out some water. We made some dough out of it, and we have it in our vessels. He said, as for the dough that you made, the ajin, do not eat it. Feed it to your animals. The water, spill it. And only drink from the well that the camel used to drink from, not from the other wells. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَا تَدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونُوا بَاكِينَ He says, do not enter their area unless you are crying. خَشْيَةَ أَن يُصِيبَكُمْ مِثْلَ مَا أَصَابَهُمْ Lest you will be harmed in the way that they were harmed, or be punished the way that they were punished. ثُمَّ تَقَنَّعَ Then the Prophet ﷺ took his clothes and he covered his head with it, and he rode his camel and he rushed outside. He passed through it as quickly as possible. So it's not a place for you to go, you know, and take pictures and, you know, take selfies and whatever. That's not a place for you to do so. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you're going to go through it, if you have to go through it, what do you do? You be crying. You have to remember Allah's punishment. This is the place where people were punished. And any other place that you know, people were punished in it by Allah Azza wa Jal, you have to do the same thing. It's not a tourist attraction. It's not a place for you to go and sit. You go, if you're going to be there, if you have to be there, you'd be crying. And then you pass through it as soon as possible. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanAllah, was sensitive, very sensitive to the possibility that Allah azza wa jal could be punishing and could be angry at any moment. So Aisha radiallahu anha said that once she saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this was a habit of his, at least in the beginning, when he saw him, when he would see clouds and it would be about the rain, she would see him anxious. He'd be inside the home, outside the home, inside the home, outside the home, and unable to sit. She said, O Prophet of Allah, whenever people see clouds and they expect rain, they're happy. But when you see it, you become anxious. Why is it? He says, Aisha, how do I know that this could be like what? Who? Ad said, هَذَا عَارِضُ مُمْطِرُنَا This is rain. These are clouds that are bringing us rain. But what is it? بَلْ هُوَ مَا اسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ رِيحٌ فِيهَا But this is punishment from Allah. How do I know that Allah is not sending punishment upon my ummah? So the ulama said this is probably was at the beginning, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ In the beginning, before Allah Azza wa Jal gave him assurance that he is not going to punish his people while he's alive. But before that assurance from Allah Azza wa Jal, he wasn't sure. Did we perhaps do something that could bring on the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal? And if he's a prophet of Allah, yeah, he cannot come as close as him to Allah Azza wa Jal. He's a prophet of Allah and he's that afraid. Yeah, we see rain, we see tornadoes, they sell it about anything, and we don't care. The heart, subhanAllah, is, you know, like a rock. Not like we're brave, but stupid like a rock. We don't feel anything. But you should be sensitive enough. What is this? What if this is a punishment from Allah? This is going to kill us all. And it's not death that is the problem. It's that we die in a state of disobedience without repenting. It's not death that is the issue, but being dying as a punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the problem. Right? So that is the story of Hud and his people, and that is the story of Salih and his people, alayhim as-salam. InshaAllah, next week, bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal, we will do the story of Ibrahim. We'll begin, inshaAllah, with the story of Ibrahim, alayhi as-salam. Any questions, inshaAllah? Before we stop. Yeah, I'm told that. Naam, jazakallah khair. So he's saying that it's commonly said that the Arabs originate with Ismail alayhi salam, but do the Arabs predate that? Definitely the Arabs predate. So the Arabs predate Ibrahim. And they go all the way. So if we're talking about Ad and Thamud and they are Arabs, the Arabs go all the way then. So what happens is that they call, Ismail marries from Jurhum, and Jurhum is an Arab tribe. And Jurhum is a tribe that predates even Ismail and predates Ibrahim. And then from his line, they come an Arab that they call it the Arabized Arab. And from that comes Quraysh. And the top Arab, they come from that. But there are Arabs beside them. So they're not the only Arabs, there are Arabs besides them as well. And who come before them too. No, I mean, na'am, yani Quraysh and most, and Kinana and most of the Arabs in inhabited Arabia, they do come from there, but wallah alam, not all of them. Not all of them. And definitely before, the Arabs were not from the line of Ismail, for sure. For sure. Na'am. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi and alhamdulillah. It's the same. Both of them are hamd in Allah Azza wa Jal. But it's just that the phrasing is different. The phrasing is different. Allah. Yeah.
It's mentioned the story of Hud. You said that's the first ad.
Yes, Zakallah khair. There's another ad. Barakallah feek. I thought like, I was thinking, I forgot something. What is it that I forgot? Naam. So, someone came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he was talking to him and he mentioned a proverb. He says, I seek Allah's protection from being like the wafid of Ad, like the messenger, not a messenger like from Allah, but the messenger that Ad sent, or that emissary that Ad sent. I seek Allah's protection from being like that. He said, what is it? What is this about? And they said, the Prophet knew, but he wanted to have him talk. He knew about that story. He said that what happened with Ad, and this is the second Ad, what happened with the second Ad is they also experienced drought. And so they sent people from among them to go to Mecca and to pray for rain. So the person went to Mecca with a lot of other people, you know, maybe, I don't know, 10, 20 or so. They went to Mecca to pray for rain for their people, Ad, the second Ad. And when they went to Mecca, a person there hosted them and he gave them, you know, alcohol and they gave them singers and they forgot. Right? Then they just ate and drank and ate and drank and ate and drank. After some time, they woke up and the fact that, look, we came here to do something, right? We came here to pray for rain. We didn't come to, you know, drink and get drunk and, you know, listen to music. That's not where we came. And they were in Mecca anyway. But anyway, so he went outside and he said, Ya Allah, I'm making dua for Ad. They're experiencing drought. Send them rain. So he sees clouds coming. And then he hears a voice from the clouds. He says, choose one of these clouds. So he goes and he picks the darkest one. Maybe thinking there's a lot of rain in it. Huh? He picks the darkest one. He says, that rain has fire that will not lead anyone from Ad alive. And it goes to Ad and it destroys all of Ad. And Ad is extinct. Ad is extinct. So this is called the second Ad. This is a hadith that is authentic. Now, why do they say that this is the second Ad? Say, first of all, there's a Kaaba and a Mecca. And that typically happened when? After Ibrahim and after Ismail, alayhi salam. So it could not have been the first Ad. Second of all, there's an Arab and they sit and there is poetry involved and an exchange. And they say that type of poetry cannot have originated all the way back at the first Ad. So this is the second Ad. So maybe they are another tribe who lived in the same area, an extension of them. Allahu a'lam what it is. But they're called the second Ad, and they also gone extinct. So this is the second Ad. Closer to the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we don't know exactly when, but you know, they're not the first Ad. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib, inshallah. I think we have to stop because it's actually time. Inshallah. Any questions, inshallah, for next week? Will Allah save them from next week? Jazakumullahu khair. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.